the rest of the story. This was the moment Patrick Ferguson was born to seize. This was the point in his life at which every road he had ever traveled suddenly converged. This cosmic opportunity presented itself as the stranger on horseback rode calmly and clearly into the sights of Patrick's rifle. Whoever he was in particular didn't matter much. After all, this was bigger than one man's life. This was war. No, the important thing now was for Patrick to prove himself and to demonstrate that his invention would do everything he had promised it would do. In the age of cumbersome, faulty flintlock firearms, Patrick Ferguson had designed the modern weapon of war, a breech-loading rifle that could fire six times faster than the fastest flintlock, and with accuracy theretofore unimaginable. Patrick's rifle was also extremely light compared to what was then standard issue. The breech loader weighed a mere 7.5 pounds. Patrick Ferguson was 32 when he received his patent for the firearm of the future. Equally significant, he convinced the Army of the usefulness of sharpshooters in warfare. In fact, his official demonstration for the brass was so impressive that he was promptly dispatched to the war front. For only there could he put his expertise in training methods and his new breech-loading rifle to a practical and conclusive field test. So it had all come down to this. Reconnoitering 2 miles from camp, Patrick and 3 sharpshooters he had personally trained suddenly heard horses approaching. Immediately, they threw themselves to the ground and watched as 2 riders came into the clearing. The enemy, unquestionably, the riders unaccompanied except by each other, and apparently unaware of any danger, they drew nearer, quite near, in fact. In a whisper, Patrick ordered, "Ready?" All 4 soldiers slowly raised their rifles. The lead horseman was squarely in Patrick's sights. The sharpshooters began squeezing their triggers, but then, out of the blue, Patrick Ferguson withdrew his order. Their targets were simply too close, too easy. To shoot these men down would prove nothing. In any event, the riders were utterly defenseless. Killing them just wouldn't be right. To capture them, though, that would be a different matter. And yet when Patrick rose from cover and shouted for them to dismount, the strangers quickly turned and fled. Shortly thereafter, a jealous superior disbanded the sharpshooter corps and sent the Ferguson breech-loading rifles into permanent storage. 2 years later, Patrick Ferguson was killed in the line of duty in a battle that might never have been fought had he only pulled the trigger that summer day in 1777. Almost a century would pass before armies worldwide recognized the superiority the weapon Patrick had invented. It was slow to catch on, at least in part because its inventor had rejected the golden opportunity to prove beyond doubt what it could accomplish, a singular chance to make it and him famous, and at the same time to change history. For one of the 2 strangers who trotted unsuspecting up to the muzzles of Ferguson's marksmen that day was a French officer who would distinguish himself only days later in the Battle of Brandywine Creek as an American ally in our own Revolutionary War. And the other horseman, the one who rode right into the sights of the best-armed, best-shot in the British Army, you know him too. The sitting duck that day was named George Washington. Only now you know the rest of the story.